Good morning, church. I'm sure you all know me by now. I'll be marrying the wonderful Alicia in 54 days, 1 hour and 38 minutes, approximately. Alicia has been part of the inspiration for what I'm going to talk about this morning, and is a constant reminder to me of God's grace. I didn't grow up a Christian. It was through Alicia that I started my journey with God and really started to experience God's grace. So God has put on my heart this morning to talk about God's grace. So Ephesians 2, 4 to 5 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So what's grace? It's a word we sing about, a word we read in scripture, a word we throw around in church and our home groups, but do we really grasp it? Grace is God's unearned, unmerited, undeserved favour towards us. You cannot work for it. You cannot buy it. You cannot bargain for it. You can only receive it. Grace is the reason you're still breathing. It's why you woke up this morning. And it's why the cross matters. It's why there's hope for me and all of you, no matter how far you've gone. So the first thing I want to talk about is that grace meets us where we are. So Romans 5 verse 8 says, "While we are still sinners, Christ died for us." This is the scandal of grace. It doesn't wait for you to clean up your life. Jesus didn't say, "Get your act together and then come to me." He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That's Matthew 11, verse 28. God's grace meets you in the mess. It's not just for the good people. It's for everyone. The broken, the bitter, the addicted, the ashamed. The second thing, grace doesn't just forgive, it transforms. Titus 2, 11 to 12 tells us, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness." Grace doesn't just forgive your past, it empowers our future. Grace is the engine behind real transformation. When you understand grace, you stop trying to earn God's love and start living for it. You begin to pray, not to impress God, but because you're loved. You begin to serve, not to prove something, but because you're grateful. You forgive others because you've been forgiven for so much. My third point is that grace is a gift and not a transaction. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. If you could earn it, it wouldn't be grace. If you could lose it every time you failed, it wouldn't be secure. It's a gift, full stop." Imagine someone handing you a wrapped present and you respond by reaching into your wallet and saying, "How much do I owe you?" You defend the giver. And when we try to pay for God's grace with our works, our guilt or our perfectionism, we do the same, just receive it. My last point is that grace is more than enough. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Some of you might feel like you've outsinned God's grace. I felt like this a lot at the beginning of my journey with God, and sometimes still feel it today, that you've gone too far, fallen too hard, or stayed away too long. But let me give you some tough love. You are not more powerful than God's grace. Your weakness is not a disqualifier, it's an invitation. When Paul begged for his thorn to be removed, God didn't give relief, he gave grace. Why? Because his grace is enough. So to finish, I want to reference the story of the prodigal son. In Luke 15, Jesus tells a story of a son who wastes everything and returns home in shame. The father runs to meet him. He doesn't demand an apology. He doesn't shame him. He throws a robe around him, puts a ring on his finger, and throws a feast. That's a picture of grace. Not a second chance, not probation, a full, undeserved welcome back into the Father's arms. So to conclude, short and sweet, my message today is to come as you are. You don't have to earn God's grace. You don't have to fix yourself first. You don't have to carry guilt or shame any longer. The cross was enough. So today, whether you've known Christ for decades or you feel far from God, his grace is still calling. And I'll finish with this verse, Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank you.